All right, welcome. Thank you so much, guys, for being here. How are you?
We're good.
Doing good.
All good.
right, so this is going to be the Solanum podcast. We're here with Antonio Alejandro, Victor Pixie, and Samuel Salazar, our director.
Wait. Let me. Victor Pish. No, keep going.
All right. Hello. Go. Welcome, everybody. How are you? How you doing?
We're good. I'm good.
Good. All good.
All right. So this is going to be the Solanum podcast. We're here with our actor, Antonio Alejandro, Victor Pixie, and Samuel Salazar. How are you? All right. So look, I would love if each of you would introduce yourselves and like let us know what was your role in this film. I will start as the host. I am Carla Valencia. I am the producer of the Solanum. Now your turn. Let's start with Alejandro.
Take it away, Antonio.
No, Victor, you go. You go first as the director.
Okay, all right. I'm Victor Pish. I was the director and one of the writers.
My name is Antonio Alejandro. I played Oliver in the Solanum, and I'm an actor. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Samuel Salazar. I'm the editor for this film. So yeah,
let's go.
Ooh. All right. So I believe that our director Victor, he has a game prepared for us.
Okay. Yes, I do. Oh, wait. Can all of us get something to take shots with?
I can go grab something.
I can.
Yeah, let's go.
Why not alcohol?
Oh God. All right,
let's do.
You're good.
I'm good? Okay.
Yeah, you don't need to because you're the host. You're not going to get the questions wrong.
Okay.
Right. I have a cup.
3-5 minutes, guys.
But I don't have any alcohol. Am I supposed to have alcohol?
You don't have any alcohol?
Well, maybe I do. Hold on. Okay. I don't drink.
Okay, I'll be back.
Intermission. 5-minute intermission.
Yeah.
All right. I'm back. I got a huge bottle of cachaça.
Nice.
Okay, look at this. I stole this from set a while back, but it has half of it left.
That's enough. That's enough.
I will probably get like a little bit tipsy if I drink this. Never mind.
Oh, yeah. You a drink.
I'm very lightweight, so.
All right. I have my, I don't know how many liters this is of cachaça.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
It is a lot.
Nice. All right. Walk us through it, Victor.
So good. All right. So the game is two truths, one lie about cults. So Carla's gonna give us. I haven't seen the questions. I got the questions, but I didn't read any of them. Just send them to her. She's gonna give us three statements about cults, beliefs. What is it? I forgot the other three synonyms for that, but anyway, she's gonna give us three statements about quotes, practices, and all of that stuff, and then we have to pick the one that is the lie. If we get it wrong, we drink. Pretty much okay. It.
So okay. Should we all like participate in each question, or we go like
yes.
one you? Okay.
Yeah. Okay. No, we all play it the same okay. ones.
All right, guys. Are you ready? Do you have your cups ready?
Yeah.
Okay. No cheating. Okay. So I have the first one. The first question is cult basics, okay? So we have, some cults believe that drinking beet juice purifies the soul and wards off evil spirits. Second one, members of a UFO cult were convinced that they would be picked up by an alien spaceship if they wore matching purple tracksuits. Three, a cult in California believes that the secret to enlightenment is only eating food that has been blessed under the moonlight. Which one's the lie?
I feel like at this point, if Antonio doesn't know about the California one, I think that's the lie. That's the lie.
Oh. Well, I'm gonna say C. I thought that was false.
That's the one of California. What do you think?
Yeah, he is in California. Who knows?
I think that's false. Expert.
What do you say, Samuel?
I'll take the guns and say A. I'll go for A on this one.
Oh, shit. Okay, sorry. Oh.
Okay.
Antonio, you drink. He is correct. The lie is the first statement about the peach juice is false. That's really true. So okay. In California, oh. Yes. A cult in California does believe that the secret to enlightenment is only eating food that has been blessed under the moonlight.
That's true.
Yeah, that is true. I wonder how that works. Like, they put the ingredients outside all night, or like they make the meals and put them outside. That would be like.
I think the ingredients.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? But you know what? Living in LA, I should have assumed that was true because people here do a lot of weird things. So yeah. I should have just, yeah, I don't know. I guess I was giving them the benefit of the doubt. Yeah.
All right.
Second question. That was funny.
The power of objects. All right. So a cult worships a giant crystal and believes that it emits a healing vibration strong enough to cure diseases. 2, members of a secret society believed that wearing socks with holes in them made them closer to their deity. 3, a potato worship cult believed that placing a potato under your pillow improves fertility. Which one's the lie?
B. B is a lie.
What was B again?
The holes in the socks that connects you to the deities or something. Yeah.
You know what? I think that might be true because there are people that just walk barefoot just because they think it connects them to the earth.
That's barefoot though, but holes in your socks?
They're just like,
I don't know.
They keep.
I'm gonna go for C. I'm gonna go for the potato coat.
Like, really? That might be off. Now she's making me think no.
That sounds real. That sounds like it's a real thing.
Which one?
What was A again?
A is members. Sorry, wait. A cult worships a giant crystal and believes that it emits a healing vibration strong enough to cure diseases.
That sounds right.
That sounds like a
plausible thing.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
Right. I think it's really like, okay.
Healing crystals, you find that in basically every single shop right now.
Yeah.
Especially in LA.
Yeah.
I guess it's like between either like the obvious potato one or just the one that's just barefoot. Like there's a hole. I guess B. I'll go B.
Okay, so all of you are saying B right now?
No, I got C.
You got C? Hey, Antonio, are you saying B?
Yeah, I said B.
All right, so Victor, take a shot because B is incorrect. The potato worshiping cult does believe that placing a potato under your pillow improves fertility, and it's true.
Is it red herring?
Yeah.
Yeah, the holes in the socks. Cool. Like that doesn't make sense.
Yeah. But you know, there's people that they throw dirt on them to like humble themselves when they're grieving. So you never know. They put, like
holes. That's true. I think I've seen something like that. Oof. Mm-hmm. All right. So oof, we do have Ivan Garcia with us right now.
Yeah. Hey.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Welcome.
What's good, guys? How are we doing?
4 hours.
We're playing a game right now. Do you have any alcohol available?
Oh, man. I drank my last wine bottle this Friday.
Oh, man. Okay, then you got to join us and, I don't know, do something.
Mark how many shots you got wrong, and then more and more you buy something, you just take that many shots.
Yeah,
We keep the tab.
You keep the tab. Okay. So we have the third question. This one is extreme diets.
Mm-hmm.
1, a cult in the 1970s only allowed members to eat sunflower seeds, believing that this diet will purify their thoughts. 2, members of a sect only drink water infused with the ashes of burnt sage, claiming it detoxifies their bodies. And 3, a cult believes that eating food while standing up ensures a longer life because it aligns the body energy flow. Okay. Yeah. Because it aligns the body energy flow.
I think B and C are the most normal because people infuse water with stuff all the time.
Mm-hmm. The sage one does sound pretty reasonable. And the B one, that does sound like something that would be pretty believable. But would you mind repeating A again?
That's T.
Yeah.
The A is a cult in 1970s only allowed members to eat sunflower seeds, believing that it's that this diet will purify their thoughts.
Nah, they were dead within a week. That's false.
That was also the 70s. I'll join factor on this. So I'll go A.
I'll go A as well. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about you, Evan? Two truths, one lie.
I'll go with the what? Wait, oh, so it's two. What do you mean, bro? It's not a.
Oh, sorry. Right, you're explain the game to him.
One of the statements is false. So pick the one that you think is false.
Okay. Can you say the B one again? The second one?
The B one is members of a sect only drink water infused with the ashes of burnt sage.
Claiming. Come on, that has to be fake. That has to be fake. There's no way.
It tastes yucky. But okay, guys. So which ones are you gonna choose?
I'm picking A.
What about you, Ivan?
I'm picking B.
All right. So all of you should take a shot, because the false statement is the third statement of a cult believes that eating food while standing up ensures a longer life because it aligns the body energy flow.
You know what I was gonna say? Because what kind of cult is surrounded? Like, why is that the main thing in a cult? That sounds
like science.
I don't know. I should have said that.
Oh my god, I'm so sorry. So we're picking the lie. I'm sorry, we're picking the truth.
Oh my god.
No, we're picking the lie.
We're picking the lie? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, no, we're picking the truth.
Yeah.
Just... Oh, I hated that. Ow.
Yeah. How many?
I'm confused now. Are you playing with me? Are we picking the lie?
The night that I was drinking this, I was on a film, and I was hitting a vape that night, and it still tastes like the vape. The tip of this.
That's nasty.
So that's lovely. It's a confused.
All right, Ivan, you have one shot to put it in your tap.
Okay, I'm writing it down.
He ain't doing this. All right, number four. Odd dress codes. One, members of a religious group in South Korea believe that only wearing yellow clothing attracts positive spiritual energy. Two, a cult in 1990 requires members to wear sunglasses indoors to protect themselves from mind-controlling rays. Three, followers of a small cult in Arizona dress as vegetables during rituals to channel their earthly energy.
Okay, I don't know if it's B or C.
What's A? What's A again?
South Koreans, a religious group in South Korea, believes that only wearing yellow clothing attracts positive spiritual energy.
Oh, dang. This one's hard.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm going to ask one last time. Are we picking the lie?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. It's B. It's for sure B, because what stops you protecting the mind is those aluminum hats. It's not the glasses.
You so should know. About that
too. I thought about that too. What was C again?
The vegetables. C? You dress up as a vegetable.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's crazy. You dress up as vegetables?
That sounds normal.
No, yeah, exactly. Yeah, cool. I can see that. You know? Yeah. I could deem that.
I see. So, what is your choice,
guys? I'm gonna go with B.
I'll go B as well.
I'll go C.
What about you, Ivan?
Yeah, I go B.
All right, everyone take a shot, because the lie is the first statement about South Korea believing that wearing yellow attracts positive spiritual energy.
Wow.
We suck at this.
Which in theory is hilarious.
That's crazy.
Which in theory
the other ones are true. That's crazy.
Yeah. But which in theory, you know, like colors can actually influence the way that you feel, and you know, like so wearing yellow. Wearing yellow technically.
I'm so sorry, Antonio made a huge face.
Huh?
I'm so sorry, Antonio made a huge face.
I hate alcohol, guys. I'm sorry.
I'm with you,
especially
on that,
vodka. Especially vodka. I used to only drink pink Whitney.
Samuel is like suffering in silence. All right, guys.
Yeah.
Wait, let me finish my.
In college, I used to only drink Pink Whitney vodka. Do you guys know that? The pink raspberry.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I would ever drink. Like, if I'm going to get drunk, I'm going to drink 3-4 shots of that, and I'm good. Because it's the only thing I could tolerate. Tequila was makes me throw up.
This is the only thing I like to drink. Everything else is ass.
Is that strong? Oh, it's like a... So, it's like a shot is a shot. Like, it's a...
Yeah, a shot is a shot. Yeah, definitely. This
so
is
you're, like, actually, you're actually drinking shots right now?
Yes. Yes.
As true, you know what I mean.
I'm going to finish this before we start the questions because I feel like I'll loosen up.
Yeah. I've got 30%. I'm going to be loosey-goosey. All right?
Exactly. That's why we're playing this game. So we can okay. Loosen up.
Okay.
Right. Okay. Okay, number 5. Rituals for communication. A cult believes that whispering to houseplants daily strengthens their spiritual connection with the earth.
Come on now.
2. In a South American cult, members chant to chickens to receive messages from the spirit world. 3. A secretive group in Midwest believes that shouting into wells at midnight allows them to hear the voices of their ancestors.
Hey. A it's all the way. B. It's B. It's
I think
B.
It's I'm going B. B.
I think it's B.
Like A. I feel like it's much more plausible because I know there's actually albums, like actual music that's made for like just for plants to listen to.
Exactly.
It is an actual thing
that's my
that
thought.
People do.
And C, I'm thinking that C, for example, if they throw their dads in the wells, I can see why they would think that screaming at the well would help them hear the voice of the dead. I don't know.
Yeah, supernatural.
Yeah, there's a lot of folklore too, you know, like especially if you live near those areas. So it'll make sense. So Victor, Samuel, and Antonio say B, right?
No, I said A. I said A.
No, he said A. It was Ivan.
I
said B. I'm going right. To B because I like South America's are crazy, but I don't think that crazy.
Yeah, I think like they see chickens as chickens. Okay. So, Antonio, take a shot, because the correct answer is the second one. South American cult, yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah, I'm just bad at this. Now I'm trying to pick the answer that is against everyone else. Because I think that, now I'm just being dumb.
I do think that, if anything, I think that cult, South American cult, that would maybe be like Colombia.
Really? For the chicken?
Yeah. You yeah. Really? Right in our faces.
Yeah. I think Colombians could think that chickens bring messages from beyond. I don't know.
Why not? I don't
That's
know.
That's true. That they folklore. Do a lot of brujeria.
There's a lot of folklore when it comes to like the el gallo, you know, mostly. But, you know, it's not so much about like them having communication with like the you know, the other side of the spectrum. I don't know how you say that. I forgot. But I don't think so. I don't know. Anyway, number 7. Oh, no. Number 6. Animal worship. 1. A cult in the Caribbean believes that dolphins are reincarnated humans, so human souls, and holds annual dolphin communication ceremonies.
That's true. Let me tell you guys. I'll help you guys out. That's true.
2. A sect in Eastern Europe believes that frogs are divine messengers and must be kissed before every meal. Ew.
Wait, say that again?
A sect in Eastern Europe believes that frogs are divine messengers and must be kissed before every meal. That's true. 3.
What? No.
Members of a Pacific island cult worship crabs, believing they are protectors of hidden treasures. Which one's the lie?
The last one.
I go with B as well. I'm sorry.
Okay. So hear me out. I don't know where I saw this, but I saw something that they used, like old mythology somewhere, they used to believe that dolphins were people that were crossing a rainbow bridge built by a dog. And then I don't know what happened to the bridge. They fell into the water, and then that god turned them into dolphins. So yeah. I think A is true.
I thought
so. C was the crab, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that might be true because of Moana.
Mm-hmm.
That was a crab. Right? That was a crab. Point. Like, what's the word for that? A crab Not hovering. He kept some treasure on his shelf.
Oh, wait, no. I think that might be true. Okay, I'm going to stick with C just because I said C, but let's go for it.
You ready? You ready for the shot? All right,
so everyone else says B and Antonio says C.
Wait.
All right, Antonio, take a shot, man. The second statement about the frogs is the false one.
Yeah, that makes sense because in movies you see that crabs usually have the treasure, like in even in video games and stuff. Like okay, that's true. I'm not thinking at this point. I have this much left.
Yeah, damn.
Oh wow, you took a big chunk of the last one, dude. Dang. Damn.
I did.
All right, you gotta put it in your tab then.
God, that's it. I have no more, so the rest is gonna be water.
Okay, cool. Just like, all right, number 7. Strange superstitions. 1. An ancient cult believed that walking backwards during a full moon would reverse bad luck. 2. A cult in Russia believes that whistling indoors summons malevolent spirits. 3. A sect in Japan believes that standing on one foot while praying amplifies spiritual power. Which one's the lie?
That's crazy. I don't know.
I think I'm already tipsy. I just forgot everything you just said. What was A and B?
What was A, B, and C again?
I got C though. C was standing on one foot, but A and B, I was not even listening. I'm sorry.
No worries. All right, 1. An ancient cult believes that walking backwards during the full moon would reverse bad luck. 2. A cult in Russia believes that whistling indoors summons demons.
That's
true. A sect in Japan believes that standing on one foot while praying amplifies a spiritual power.
A
for sure.
A yeah. For sure.
I agree with him.
Everyone A?
Because A is too simple. A is, how can just walking backwards under a full moon reverse occur? That's too easy. It's A.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna say for sure, but I'll go for A as well.
Okay. What about you, Samuel?
I'll be the outlier in this case. I'll go for C. I don't know. I feel like
C. It's good. Come on, man. I'll just be.
All right. So
wait. I'll go.
Antonio and Ivan, take a shot because Samuel is right. The third statement is false. Yeah. So you know what?
Wow, that's crazy.
Doesn't surprise me a lot because it is kind of simple, but
yeah.
But you know, witchcraft can be simple too. You know.
That's true.
So,
well,
yeah,
I've gotten nothing right. I think I've gotten one
ritualistic.
Right.
So. The alcohol now stinks of alcohol. You know what I mean? You know when you get to that point, the alcohol smells like alcohol. You're like, All right, next.
All right. Now I'm thinking about it, Victor. You drank alone. Just like.
Right. I'm out.
So 8.
It'd be like that.
Outlandish rites. I don't know what that means. Okay.
It's crazy.
I guess
we're gonna outlandish means just like crazy.
Yeah, I know, but rites. R-I-T-S.
Oh, like rites of passage is like something you have to do in order to
become something. Okay, yeah, like passage rituals. Okay.
Yeah.
So 1. A cult in New Zealand believes that drinking from a cow horn filled with honey grants a vision of the future. 2.
Believable.
A group in Eastern Africa thinks that burying alive chickens ensures a good harvest for the coming year. And also 3. Followers of a cult in Scotland believe that dancing naked in nettles strengthens. It strengthens the immune system.
Okay, B. I also kind of believe that, but I'm gonna go for C.
I see B
again. I'm sorry.
All right, so we're going.
Sam was asking you to restate A.
Restate A. A cult in New Zealand believes that drinking from a cow horn filled with honey grants visions of the future.
Okay. Okay. Let's see, like dancing.
I'm gonna go with a dancing naked.
Okay. Anyone else?
Actually, I don't know.
I said B, whatever B was, I forgot it, but that one didn't make sense.
Same here. I'll lock it in for B.
You go for B as well, Samuel?
I go for B. I did kind of
remember always
a little bit of it, but yeah.
So, a group of Eastern Africa thinks...
Oh, the chicken.
The chicken. Yeah. I feel like food, why would you waste food, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't make sense.
I think that, depending on where it is, if it's a very poor population, they would do food, you know what I mean? Because, like, it's more sacred.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I didn't go for that one. I'm gonna stick to C.
Okay.
I'm gonna go with B as well.
All right. So chickens, one naked.
Victor, time to drink alone, man.
No, oh my god, really?
It doesn't make sense, dude.
I think they come on. I don't know, like chickens.
Victor, was this your excuse to get drunk for the podcast?
Yeah.
No, dude.
It like stumbles. Okay.
I already got a headache.
Oh no.
You got something to pass it with, or you're just straight up just drinking that?
I'm just drinking it.
Damn.
Pretty crazy.
We're almost done though. All right. 9. Spiritual technology. A high-tech cult in Silicon Valley believes that downloading a specific sound frequency into your phone can increase your lifespan by 20 years. 2. A futuristic cult uses...
I'm doing a 20-minute piece again. That was so funny. It's okay.
A high-tech cult in Silicon Valley believes that downloading a specific sound frequency into your phone can increase your lifespan by 20 years. 2. A futuristic cult uses laser pointers in ceremonies, believing they communicate directly with extraterrestrial beings. 3. A cult in the Philippines uses old VHS tapes, believing that rewinding them cleanses negative energy.
B. It has to be C.
B. I'm feeling C on that one. The other ones feel like possible, but I think the VHS one, I just don't think.
Yeah, I don't see the relationship
for that one. Honestly, like, I mean, it just feels like. I mean, people already do that.
It feels
already.
Odd, right? It's pretty odd. It feels like the odd one, yeah.
So what? Which ones? Are you saying B, Antonio?
Yeah, B.
B. What about you?
And everybody else, C.
C.
Everybody else, C. All right, so actually everyone else take a shot except Antonio, because he's right.
Dang.
Okay.
Let's fucking get it, bro. Yeah. Good job.
You got it.
I'm finally doing something.
I would think people would be actually pointing lasers to the sky, you know? Like, that makes more sense.
I should have read the answers before sending them to you.
It sounds stupid, but I'm like, yeah, why not?
When I started talking like this, right?
I think I got every single question wrong.
No, you got one right. I think you got one.
Yeah, one right.
You got one or two out there.
Shit.
Wait, we're not keeping tabs. Like, we don't know who's winning. We just drink.
Samuel is winning.
That wouldn't make sense because two of you are not drinking right now.
Yeah.
But it's okay, just for the vibes. We learned something new today.
I guess the podcast editor will find out for us.
Yeah.
Indeed they will. I pray for them.
All right. So, yeah, but that last one of the Philippines uses VHS tapes.
That's crazy.
That's hilarious.
That's crazy. Like, that's new technology. Like,
yeah, but it just like it's a random movie. Like, what are you doing to, you know, like, are you putting your energy into it? But I don't know.
It could be a whole movie.
Do you think they record themselves?
They could, I guess.
Maybe.
Even like that, it doesn't make any sense. You know?
Right? Anyways, so, yeah, next one.
Ooh. Yeah. Number 10 and final one. So, bizarre body practices. A cult believes that sticking garlic cloves between their toes during prayer enhances their connection to the divine.
Hella believable.
A secretive group in Germany believes that rubbing olive oil on their eyebrows during a solar eclipse will bring eternal wisdom. 3. In a remote village, a cult practices potato headstands, balancing potatoes on their heads while meditating for enlightenment. This sounds so much like the Solanum.
Right, I was about to say, I feel like that has to be a lie. I would go for C. That has
no,
to
be it's now. B.
And we can test right now, I guess. I mean,
they were already putting it under their pillows for fertility, you know? Maybe the potatoes have some wisdom for us. Why do you have a potato?
Yeah. We picked the right vegetable.
The potato's telling me B.
B.
So, what do you say, Ivan?
He's going to go for A.
Okay. Oh, okay.
He left. That's how you know.
So, everyone take a shot because the lie will be the third statement about the potatoes on the head.
I got it. I told you that was too much.
You could have. Huh?
I should have trusted you.
I have any drink as well. You picked A.
Yeah.
No, I didn't pick anything, you liar. What was it?
Well, then you just get an automatic drink.
Exactly. You didn't pick. Just like the first two questions that you were here for.
No, wait. First, tell me the right answer, and then I'll tell you what I picked.
That's not how it works.
All right, so.
All right, I thought it was the potato one.
Okay, well, sure. You got it right.
Autobots.
There you go, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Autobots.
We'll never know if it's the truth or not, Rick.
Bro, not everybody can balance a potato in their head.
Can you guys hear me right now?
Yeah, we can. Yeah.
Okay, it's because I see the blue square around everyone but me. So just make
sure. Same, bro. No, same. That's why I thought you guys couldn't hear me for a second. That's why I put on my AirPods. But then I clicked on it and hung up. But you guys can't hear me, right?
What language, bro? It's supposed to be PG-13.
Oh, are you serious?
Well, technically, yes. But
you can edit it out.
Yeah, exactly.
Just put a beep over it.
Editor, this is the point that you're going to, for you to know.
Editor, put a wipe transition and put a VFX pod here, please. Thank you.
Okay, editor, guys.
Make sure I always get the right answer.
Well, editor, whenever we say Autobots or any cuss words, you just put Optimus Prime saying
Autobots.
Let's see if he actually does it.
Okay, guys. So for the ones who took a couple of shots, I would say Samuel, Victor, do you want to get some water before we start a couple of the
I got some water here. It's water.
Yeah. So I do have a couple of conversational questions. Mm-hmm. We can talk about these things. And I would like to know your opinions. Yeah, so as we know, we have our editor, we have our main character, we have our director, and we have our DP here today. And I wanted to know, guys, if cults were socially permitted, what would your cult be named?
Like,
I don't think I'd have one.
You wouldn't have a cult? I don't think I'd have one.
No.
If I was the owner of a cult, it would definitely be basically the first idea that we had for the short film, where I am the only real person in the world and everybody else is just a figment of my imagination. So the name of it would be Victor.
Yeah, and you will be in the room.
Yeah, it would be either Victor or Patient. Could be Patient. There you go. Yeah, she and the symbol will be a fish. Okay. That's it.
Okay.
All right. I think for me, I think it was just mine would be just called the Doinks. I think it's just I love that word Doink a lot.
Yeah.
I've just made it my catchphrase now and then. So I'm like, just make it everybody Dwix. And I'm
everywhere. Love that. You know what? I'm a very spiritual person, so I feel like if I did have a cult, it would be something spiritual. But at the same time, I'm not a crazy fanatic about anything. Like, you know, even with spirituality, I'm not super into it where it's like crazy. I believe in it, yeah, but I'm chill about it. So I don't think I would have a cult. But if I were to have a cult, it would be something in the spiritual, I guess, okay, realm.
And yeah. So like a name in your mind that you would name it? I don't, being silly, you know?
I don't know. Estrellitas.
Estrellitas? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's
what is that? Is that stars?
Stars, stars. Okay, yeah, little stars.
Okay. My little stars, yeah.
Spanish check. Okay.
Yeah. I got Elon, it. What would yours be?
Okay, answer. We're going to skip him again. Next question.
All right. So I do have some questions about, of course, the film. And I wanted to know which one was, like, your favorite scene.
Wait. Sorry.
Oh, hello, okay. Ivan. Welcome back.
I'm back. I'm sorry. I just step away from the phone, and then I'm trying to put it through the earbuds, but I can't. So I think mine will definitely be something, I don't know, I feel like something nice, something related to like a state of mind, philosophy, like be happy and spread happiness, but like to a toxic point, you know?
Yeah.
That you need to be happy. Like, like you have to endure happiness, even like when facing death or when like people are going through like tough stuff, you still gotta be happy. Yeah. Yeah, okay. you gotta be happy.
If you're being tortured to death, you still gotta be happy.
Yeah. So I think, I don't know, but I also want it to be intimidating, you know. So I was thinking of smiling faces, but that's not intimidating. I want something that whenever you say it, you're scared of it, you know. Like you want to join it, but at the same time you respect them, and you see them as an authority, as an authoritative figure. So I was thinking,
I don't like this cult anymore. I don't like it.
Right?
It started off nice, but now it's just demonic. No, I'm good.
No. It doesn't.
You fascist.
It's fascist. Yeah.
Could be like the smiles or something. That's still kind of scary and, you know, relatable. Yeah.
But you don't want to get caught by the smiles.
Yeah.
Mm. Or the smiling one. That it could be like that.
The smiles and the smiling one, that's the answer. Okay.
I like it. Yeah. I like that. Okay. That'll be it.
All right. So for our following question regarding the Solanum guys, as the editor, actor, director, and DP, which ones were your favorite scene, or at least one of your favorite scenes?
All right. I'll go first because I have a few. I loved shooting some of the interviews in the house. Especially the one where Antonio was playing the guitar. It was so funny. It was just so funny. And the office was also hilarious to shoot. And then after that, I would say very simple scene, but it was just nice. I don't know. I felt different about it. It was the last scene where we have Antonio holding the golden potato.
Mm.
And then in one hand, and on the other hand, he's holding like all the other potato necklaces. That was very fun. And it looked super nice. So those three scenes.
All right.
Okay. Ivan.
I'm looking for the actual term that I want to say, but my favorite scene or shots or the stuff that we shot was definitely when we were interviewing all the characters. Because I'm a fan of subplots. So when you get to see into like the life of all the other side characters that you normally in a short film you don't even get to like look at or appreciate, I think it's nice, you know, just seeing everybody being absolutely random, improvising. It was great. The Russian guy, the guy selling weed. I don't know. I think it was great. The Alina gave, they killed it. I like those. I like that. That is
Yeah, that was very funny. That's true. That was very funny.
I'm a fan of that one.
I will piggyback off of that. Oh, my bad.
Oh, my. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Sam. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine.
Sam, go ahead.
It's all good. Yeah, I'm just gonna piggyback off of that. Like, basically, my favorite part was definitely like the montage of like just the people in the field, because you know, we get like a good whole sense of like who the people in the cult are, like the whole variety of people that are part of it. Like for example, like what like Ivan brought up with like the people who were just there for weed, and then I think my two favorites are like the one who had like a Beanie Baby addiction who just went bankrupt and he's like, hey, you trying to get a cult? Like, I'm mine now.
That was funny, dude. That was Mike. Mike was so funny.
Mike killed him. And I think the other one, I think I wish I included a bit more scenes with him. Like, I think his name is Sebastian. He's the way he did his accent and like the character he played.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. He was just so funny to me. Seriously, just the
that
he
was
just
funny. That was funny.
Legend of that character. It was hilarious.
Okay. For me, I have a few, but the first one, the one that I really loved the most. I mean, before I did the Solanum, I had never done any like comedy stuff. Like, it was mostly drama, short films and stuff. And so I felt lucky that I got it, because it was different, you know, and I don't get a lot of chance to improvise. Usually you have to stick to the script, or you can improvise, but you have to keep it the same every take. And there's not a lot of room to do the things that I did in the office scene, because every take was different, and in some ways were different. Because I didn't want to do the same thing again. I didn't want to, like, okay, we got that one was good, let's try something different. Mm-hmm. And but yeah, I remember doing that scene, and it felt like I was in what's it called, the 73 questions with Vogue, when they come into your place and you're kind of answering questions. That's what it felt like to me when I was
filming. Oh my god, I get you.
And I was like, this is so fun to really like dig into it and believe it, and it felt good. And then there also that part where I open the laptop and I see the whole thing. It was such a switch up. That was really fun to play. I was kind of nervous for that scene, because I'm like, I don't know how I'm gonna go from being goofy and like talking about all this potato stuff, and then opening the laptop to reveal the news that, you know, will change the way I see everything. And so that was
you nailed it. I like the cuts. Perfect.
Super. I would like to ask a question on that, Antonio, because the process, what was like the process into getting in character, like transition to so smoothly into a character that has to improvise so much? Like, what was your mindset? How did you prepare for that role?
For me, the biggest thing is, like, I think when I did the Solanum, I was starting to become a little more serious with my preparation for stuff. Like, I've only been acting for 2 years now. So when I first started, it was very, very much like winging it, just going up to set and just trying, just memorizing the lines and just doing the part. I wasn't very deep on preparation and stuff. And then by the time the Solanum came around, it had been like a year and 4 months since I started performing. And at that time, I was taking it very serious. I remember I was doing 4 short films that month, and it was a crazy month for me in terms of everything. And so I remember prepping for the character really well, so that when I showed up on set, I wasn't trying to figure it out. I kind of already had what
I
had.
Yeah, I remember we had some rehearsals.
I remember
we rehearsed some scenes. We had a lot of conversations about the character and who we wanted to see, and who we wanted Oliver to be. Because one of the conversations that we had was that Oliver was literally the protagonist, so he was the most important character on it, and he needed to be perfect. So I don't even remember how many times we had so many different calls, basically just reinstating the same thing so many times, so mm-hmm. that we could keep that in our heads, that Oliver was the most important character. So, yeah. And I don't know, like for me, for example, in that part, I was also a little bit of understanding the character throughout the whole process, because everything always changes. You know, mm-hmm. like, for example, at some point, literally into the night before, you had a mom and dad that loved you, and then the day off, your dad ran off. You know, I don't know if you remember that, because
I remember that. Yeah.
Our dad, he just called out. He said, "Oh, actually, I'm not gonna show up." That was like 11 p.m. the night before. So we created this whole character that had loving parents, that had everything perfect in his life, and I wanted that. I wanted a character that had, even though Oliver had something bad happening, his life after that was perfect. his parents were still together. He had a lot of people that loved him in the cult, but then the next day he had a single mom. So,
but you know what? It made sense though. For me, I think the way that it turned out was made the most sense to me, because Oliver is, I think, you know, he's very pure. I think in the way that he is, and he sees the good and everything. But I think he is kind of like a wounded bird in some ways, and he wants to search for like a purpose, which is why he's so devoted to his cult. And I mean, if you had cancer and you were cured from it by a cult, like I'm sure that you would want to, and you really believed that it did cure you, that you would want to devote everything to that. And so,
yeah,
I think it made sense. I think him having a single mom only made his devotion to the cult stronger, because he needed like a family. He needed people to fall back on.
Yeah, he ended up working super well.
And she was so great.
Pamela. Pam was great. Pam was great. She was the best actress that we could have gotten for the mom. She was literally so on the casting call that we had. She was the only person that I said, if I don't, like, because I had to match up with somebody, with a dad. And I said, if we find a dad that is half as good as you are to match with you, then you're definitely going to be our pick. Because, like, she was the character, you know what I mean? Like, the way that she said hello to me was like, oh, yeah, this is Emma.
Yeah, even between takes, she was like so sweet to me, and she treated me like I was her son, and it was so nice. No, she was very, very serious about it too, and she saw the way that I worked, and she was like, okay, like I know when to leave him alone and when he needs to focus, and she was really cool and great to work with, in my opinion. Yeah, she was dope.
All right, that's awesome. Actually, like, to follow up with that question, I would like to know, what has been your experience, Sam, as, you know, editing, approaching like something like this, like that is so improvised? I saw your first cuts, and you have a good understanding of the comedy of the film. So your cuts have like add timing to it, which makes it even more hilarious, and it helps telling the story. But what were like the things that Victor, you know, asked you for, and how was, you know, implementing everything as you edited the Solano?
Right. As far as like getting like the starting with editing it was, you know, obviously trying to fit in with like this whole mockumentary sense, like having it be a fakery of a documentary. Like this is technically my first time ever like editing like a documentary type of style. So
he's nailing it, dude.
Yeah, he's so nailing it. That's nice. What I want to know. How was it?
It was interesting because, like, you know, I've always been in that narrative mindset for a long time, and like trying to fit that in into a documentary sense, which technically we're both doing a narrative but also still documentary, like it's a whole mishmash of stuff. So it's like finding that right balance of like making it actually look like a documentary but still working within the aspects of, like, you know, what we have, you know, making something pretty cohesive was definitely like a lot to handle, especially with looking through all the footage, seeing which take is the best, especially comedy wise seeing which one worked properly, which one would actually make it the good laughter, and, you know, choosing was right. So, and as far as like for what Victor's guidance on it, I think he mainly just kind of threw me into the winds on it, just being like, hey, take this.
Yes. I just threw him into the fire. I was like, this is it, just make something good with it. Yeah.
Exactly.
I definitely did that. I'm so sorry, but I definitely did that. Yeah.
It happens. It's totally fine. Like, I obviously, it was fun to like just look through everything, see like, oh, that was funny, let me see how I can add it in, and, you know, just trying to make everything piece together and make it, you know, everything feel as cohesive as possible. So, yeah.
Sam, I want to ask you, I'm always curious when I work on productions that have two cameras, because when it comes to editing, how do you know when to choose one view over the other? How do you edit with two different cameras rolling at the same time?
Great question. So for this project, I did make it as a multi-cam sequence. So basically I would have to merge everything into one clip, but then it could be able to view both clips at the same time. From one side, I could see both camera one and camera two at the same time with the audio synced in between. So basically with that, we actually added a lot more to the process of seeing like which clip I would choose and like which one, like, okay, like this part, this clip is good, but then like for this other part, I like it from this other camera. So it's like finding the right timing to cut, but also making sure there's enough time between like each one, choosing which one's good for that is like, you know, it's, that's a whole other can of beans is at handle. But for that, like, it just, you know, I found it to be pretty seamless just getting the multicam down and out of the way. So that definitely helped, you know, get everything, you know, properly, you know, looked through, to able to look through everything and see, like, okay, which is good. Yeah.
Did you guys stuck?
You know what? You know, something? You remember, I don't know if you guys remember, when we were doing the speech that Trent was singing the song, the, what was it, Eeny, Meeny, Money, Moe, like that version, the potato version of that song, he kept getting wrong, right?
Yeah.
Like, he kept messing it up, but Sam made it seem so, like, it's perfect. Now, like, the song is perfect. I know that he got the audio from different takes.
Don't get me started on the continuity.
What did you say?
Yeah, the scripty was going crazy, that's for sure.
Yeah.
She was.
God bless the script supervisors, but yeah.
She was. No, she was. And because, like, it was crazy. He was getting, that specific part, the song, I don't know what happened, but I think he didn't get he didn't memorize the song. So I think there was only one single take that he kind of gets it right, but he still stumbles a lot. But Sam made it look like it's perfect. He just got cutting between cameras.
Yeah.
And you don't even notice. If you don't know, you don't notice.
Exactly.
Which is amazing.
If anything, it's like, if I remember correctly, I was splicing between, like, I think two different takes for that one. So, like, which take had, like, the good one? Because obviously, like, you know, just making it seem as seamless as possible. So, yeah. Basically, yeah.
Yeah. Super nice.
Excellent.
What'd you say?
What did Ivan just say?
Yeah.
Right.
Movie magic.
All right. Anything else? Anything else for us, Scarlett?
Yeah, I actually have a final question. I say it's more for Victor and Ivan. But before I ask, I want to ask the group, how do you guys feel about conspiracy theories? Now that we're, like, you know, having this cold documentary going on, we spoke
earlier about the
whole stuff.
I think they're all true and so proven wrong.
No, I don't like that. I feel like, you know, I feel like they're fun to listen to and they're interesting and, you know, they're engaging. But I think if you believe too much into them, you can kind of go crazy. Just take it with a grain
Definitely.
Of salt.
Definitely. Yes.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah.
Today, out of nowhere, flat earther video just pops up into my timeline on my feed on Instagram. I'm like, what am I watching? And I thought it was a joke, so I watched it to the end, and then I was like, where's the catch? That was for real. And I opened the chat and people were, like, going crazy believing that stuff. They're like, what is happening? It's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah, I'm a full believer in every conspiracy theory. I think Tom Cruise drinks kids' blood.
Huh?
I'm sure Beyonce is, like, running some sort of
Really? Beyonce is crazy. You never really know, you know, especially Hollywood.
Thank you, Beyonce, for allowing me to make this film.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you're better, honestly.
So, with having that in mind, have you guys heard the conspiracy theory of the Solanum?
No.
Yeah, like the undertone of the Solanum.
Why do you have potatoes?
Huh?
What are you talking about?
Why does Sam have potatoes? So, why do you have so many?
What are you talking about?
So, the Solanum is a comedic take of cult, right?
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
but it goes a lot deeper than that. I know. I'm pretty sure Victor can clarify a bit what I'm trying to say.
Oh, okay. I get it now. Yeah. Okay. So, the story of the Solanum is that, in ancient Egypt, ages, centuries ago, this slave, he was very obviously very poor. He didn't have anything to eat, and he was about to die. He found a potato, and he ate half of it, only half, so he could keep the other half for later. And then he passed out of exhaustion and all of that stuff. But when he woke up, the potato was whole again. So he just kept eating half of it and half of it and half of it. And the potato kept growing and growing and growing and growing. And then he noticed that he wasn't aging he was getting his strength back. He looked younger, and then yeah, he just became the one. That's it. He never ages. He's immortal.
I love that.
In immortality.
That's completely new information for me, guys. But I was also.
New lore.
That's actually pretty interesting. If you have like a Bible for that, you should add it. You should be like, this is the beginnings of the Solanum.
I should add that to the booklet in the showcase. I'll hand out potato Bibles to everybody.
Yeah, but besides that, I understand that the Solanum, you mentioned this in your interview, and I wanna share that with everyone else about the Solanum is like a take on like the politics right now. You know, like, or on you know, society right now. And I would like you to speak more about that, because I think that's really interesting and it's important. And even though, you know, like, we are addressing these in a comedic way, but it's also can be taken very seriously, you know, because like, it's all fun and games, but these things happen. And not necessarily so much on your face, like the Solanum with like the potato necklaces and, you know, all of that stuff, but in like in a daily life of a lot of people. So I want you to speak a little bit more about that. Like,
no, definitely. So the thing about the cult is, it's very similar to what I was talking about, the flat earthers. They honestly do. They just believe whatever. They just, with all due respect, if you believe that if the earth is flat and you're listening to this, with all due respect, but that's looking dumb.
What a bunch.
You know, that's very dumb. So the potato cult, the Solanum is, it's a take on how people just believe whatever. They're very easily manipulated. It's very, they just open themselves up to whatever belief that might be more comforting than what they live, basically. So people, everybody has complicated lives. Everybody has issues, but basically people just choose to believe some things. And whatever, because they think it's gonna make their lives easy, and it's very political. That's not just about conspiracy theories. That's also about politicians. It's religion, literally everything. And people, even social media, people go on social media and they just believe that drinking soda water helps them. Like, no, dude, do the research. You know, like, just because an influencer is telling you something on social media, it's not true. It doesn't mean that it's true. Just because they say they're a doctor doesn't mean they are a doctor. So do your own research. Find your own proof. That's basically it. And I think that, like I said in the interview, I think that sometimes when you're dealing with a serious subject, subject, in a comedic manner, people are more open to it. People receive it better. You know, like today, it's a lot easier to make a TikTok about it, but if it's not a TikTok, I think it's got to be somewhat of a joke. Otherwise, people don't really pay attention to it in a long form.
Yeah.
Yeah, we live in wild times. Just a couple of years ago, they started a religion saying like the spaghetti was their god. I don't know if you guys ever heard of it.
No.
Yeah, it was wild.
What?
I mean, dude, yeah, that's where the whole cold idea came from. It's just people taking it too far, and
you gotta watch out what you worship, for sure.
Right, maybe there's some people doing it as a joke, but there's some other people that are actually like into it and completely passionate about.
There are some people that believe what they preach, and there are some people like Oliver at the end of the Solanum that just do it for the money. They do it because there are people stupid enough to believe and give the money.
Yeah,
I mean that's why I think satire when it's done right is so good, because it can start conversations about stuff, because you can see it from a different perspective when it's done. I mean, the potato cult is so silly, but like then you start to see the other things we do in life, and it's like, oh, it's very similar to this. I think anything taken to an extreme is not good, and like whenever you, I think worshiping something is good, and if it's good for people and you do it in a healthy way, but if you go too far with anything, it can always get toxic, I think.
Yeah. No, for sure. That's true. So before we say goodbye, guys, is there anything else that you want to add? You want to talk about, Ivan, like your experience as the DP? Do you have a vision for this from the beginning, or did you say, let's see what what the Solanum brings us.
Let's see what whatever we got in the day of.
Yeah.
Was it? No, of course. Okay. I mean, we had somewhat of a shot list, but you know, like just like the actors improvise, the director improvises, the story improvises, we had to improvise as well, because in general you can only plan so much.
Yeah.
And for a project that was, you know, basically running on improvisation, a lot of shots were just easy, following the actor and just getting the most out of everything that was happening. So I had Gabe with me most of the time, so it was very simple, man. It was just, okay, Gabe, you go over there, go, follow this guy, follow this guy.
I remember shooting that. It was interesting, honestly. The shot list became more of a guideline than a rule that we had to follow. And I kind of wanted to know how it was for Antonio, like, to follow that script, because I remember telling him many, many times that the script was, it, like, the scenes in the script, they were very simple to give him room to improv and to do his own thing. And he nailed it. His acting was great. I was just very happy with it.
I think a lot of the scenes we did towards the end of the film were pretty much stuck to the script. I only felt the need to improvise whenever it felt right. You know, I didn't want to just improvise just for the sake of it. So I stuck to the script most times. If I felt like a scene needed to be improvised, then we talked about it. Like a lot of the interview scenes, that's all improvised. And the office scene is partly improvised. The last part is kind of similar to the script. But yeah, I think the thing that helped me the most was watching What We Do in the Shadows, the movie that you told me to watch. That helped me the most with tone,
yeah,
and understanding how we were going to work, because in that film they improvised everything. I mean, the director just gave them, Taika Waititi just gave them like what happens in the scene, and then it just kind of just did it. Yeah, and it was kind of similar this way too. And we would just like film scenes. You would tell me like, okay, go for it. Like just do what you think, and then we'll fix it after. Like we'll. A lot of the interview scenes, like they would ask me the questions, and I would answer it, and then you'd be like, well, actually, sort of, but not really. It's more like this, and then you'd have me do it again. But yeah, no, I really did like improvising. I never got a chance to do that in other films, and this one felt like it was, when it felt right, it was right to improvise, and it worked out, I think.
Yeah, honestly, yeah, I completely agree with you. I think, I don't know, I think it was one of my favorite movies to shoot. It was just fun, like the 3 days that we were shooting, it was just like fun the whole time, just having fun and making cracking jokes and everything that was happening. I was just dying laughing about what was happening. And I remember when Trent was doing the speech, every single time that like we cut, I was just laugh about it, because it was so stupid. We wrote it to be stupid, and it was just so dumb. It was hilarious.
It was hard to see characters sometimes, like, yeah, I think yeah, I think for me, the two times that I remember struggling was when I had the scene walking up to Perry, and I'm like, under my breath, I'm saying like, oh, is it all fake or something? And she makes this face, and she does this thing with her body that was so funny. And I was like, I need to just survive this take. I just need to have to survive. And then the other one was the twerking scene. And, you know, they had the cameras on us in the crowd. And I was trying so hard to not, because I didn't expect it. Because, you know, he had showed us what he was going to do. Actually, no, that was the first take was the first time I saw the dance. And so it was so hard for me to believe it. It was so hard for me to be like, okay, wow, like, this is really happening right now. I didn't expect that at all. So it was sometimes hard to stay in character.
You know what? It was very fun to work with Daniel. Daniel was the one.
Yeah.
It was very fun to work with him, because he came over so we could practice and create the choreography. And I don't know how many times we did the dancing, but it got to a point, like every single time that we would get a different move that was, it just fit perfectly. I was just like, yes, that's what I wanted. That's exactly what I wanted. And we were like, just in my community. So I bet my neighbors were watching and like, what the fuck is happening? But it was fun. His dancing samba, his twerking. He's doing some other stuff. It was great. It was great. Like, there's a little jump that he does. Oof, it was awesome.
He also comes out of nowhere as well. Like, we just look to the right, and he's in the field. And yes. It's just like, what? Yeah, it's like to the left. And he's just in the, it was just hilarious. And all you could hear was like the jewelry that he was wearing dangling around.
Like,
the dance wasn't even funny. It was the jewelry moving that was funny, in my opinion. The noise. Because it's so absurd. There's no music playing. So it was just funny. Did you guys edit that scene with music, or it was just quiet?
Actually, I don't know yet. If I was about to say that. I don't know if I want to add music. You know, I might just have it just like quiet.
Quiet, yeah. With the jewelry.
I don't know. I might add music just for the movie magic, you know what I mean? But I know, like, I was watching the cuts, and it's just funny to see him dancing like that. So I don't know what I'm going to do. I might add music. I might. Mm.
Did you guys end up using the scene where they're like running in a circle, but they're all holding hands and creating a circle?
Yes.
Did you guys?
We did.
That was probably the best scene for me to witness. Like,
really?
It was so fun to watch. Yeah, I was like, I felt so left out because I was sitting in the U-Haul. And yeah. I'm just like, wow, like I can't be in that. It sucks.
Dude, that had to be one of the best ones. Absolutely. That shit was so funny. Was that planned? I don't remember it anymore.
That wasn't in the script.
The ritual, the whole ritual was script.
Yes.
Oh, okay, okay.
The dancing was on the it was on the script. It's just that it wasn't like we weren't writing like too many details about it, because we wanted to leave room to improv, and it was supposed to be like that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So we just wrote dancing in circles, like the Jewish dance or something like that.
Yeah.
So I don't know, but it was just funny. It was very fun to shoot that as well. I have forgotten about that scene. That was very fun to shoot.
Oh my God, I just remembered. I was gonna say this earlier. Another of my favorites was when they were lined up to get the chip and the vodka.
Where everyone was lined up.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you can tell from my experience, I can always tell when the extras are like really like liking the experience on set, when they all are trying their best to give the most to the production.
Yes.
Like when they're all putting their all into it, you could tell that everyone's having a good time. And that scene was so funny because everyone had a different reaction. And I was on the sidelines because I think I was like third or something or fifth in the line, and just watching everyone do their thing was so, because a lot of times you could tell that they didn't have anything planned, they just did whatever came out.
Yes,
so it was so funny. It did work.
Like,
yeah,
like said,
yeah.
Like I said, I just wanted everybody to improvise and see what happens. You know what I mean? I wanted to feel off. It feels off when you watch it. They're like, "What the fuck am I watching?"
Some of them just scream out of nowhere, and it's so good. It's so good.
Yes. Like there's Gabriel that he drinks and he just yells, "I'm a lightweight," and he just passes out.
I love that one, but like, there's so many bits that people have in there. Like, it was so hard to keep it tight for that one, but like, there's so much we can add into that. But yeah,
you know, there's a, I don't know who said the interviews, but the interviews are so funny too. I just remember some of them, like the guy saying that he was it's not like somebody contacted him on Instagram or TikTok, to make him the brand ambassador, and he just said he just fucking went for it, and now he was drinking potato vodka and editing chips with them. So I don't know, dude. That was the whole thing about it, is just so funny. And
Autobots transform.
We gotta leave some secrets for the people who are gonna watch this Solanum, guys. Right. So let's not get too excited, okay? Maybe.
They're gonna edit this, so they'll just take it out.
Yeah.
honestly, I do wanna keep the part of Karina, because I wanna say that I did not want to just have a kid.
Yeah.
She was great, don't get me wrong, but I kinda wanted to have I don't know the polite way. Okay, people, what is it? Height challenged people.
Little people.
Just a small girl.
But I wanted like a midget, like a dwarf, to do it. Like I wanted two of them. You know what I mean? To like do some like weird stuff for us. But I couldn't find any. Honestly, I looked, but I couldn't find any. I don't know why they don't want to act.
No.
I think it's kind of funny anyway that like the little kid, like
it's great that there's one single girl in the entire film and she just hands the potato.
Yeah,
I love that.
She's awesome. She's great for doing that, honestly.
Yeah.
No, she was, and I don't know how many. Like, I think they drove like 2 hours.
Yeah, they drove a lot. They were like from Lauderdale to Homestead. So it was a
exactly long... That's why we only had her for one day.
Yeah.
So we had her interview and her scenes in the same day.
Yeah.
Her that was something else that happened. My bad. Go for it, Evan.
No, I was just gonna say her since her interview was very early, we had the song beautifully set in the background. I remember that. I don't know how that's gonna affect the pacing of the whole thing, because the rest of the interviews are all right. Like they are and everything is playing. And then this, whenever we interview these girls, there's just this beautiful landscape in the back.
It worked out okay. Correctly. It's okay. It wasn't an issue. It wasn't an issue. Like, you can definitely see that her interview is different from everybody else. But it's not like a big deal. So whatever.
It's fine.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, guys, thank you so much for taking some of your time to come to our small podcast. Before we go, I do want to encourage everyone who is listening to us, and you, if you haven't yet, to follow our Instagram page, The Solanum. That is The_Solanum. And if you want to be updated in what The Solanum is up to, I encourage you to follow the one in The Solanum _Solanum_. All right.
So when is it coming out?
That's a great question.
So we're gonna have the official screening on December 10th. That's the first one.
Oh snap!
All right,
it's gonna be near Miami.
Well, I'm not gonna be there. So please send me the film.
I'll send it to you. I'll do you that good. Yeah, I'll send it to you.
Okay.
All right, so The Solanum will be out on December 10th, 2024. So we wait for you guys to like check them out, check the Instagram pages out, and send us a message. See what you think. We want to know what you think. Tag us.
After that.
My bad.
Go ahead.
No, it's fine.
I'm sorry.
You're like 5 shots in. It's fine. But yeah, I hope you guys had fun today. It was really nice catching up, talking to you, and learning a bit more about your experience in the pre-production, production, and post-production of The Solanum. And yeah, well, I'm looking forward for us, all of us, to see our final product. So with that said, thank you so much. And this is The Solanum Podcast.
Woo, let's go. Thank you guys.
Let's go.